We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
OBJ to the Rams. Cam's heading back to Carolina. We're talking that and looking at some teams to figure out if they should go for it this year or start looking to the future.
What's up, RotoV?
Welcome back to the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. I'm Dave Cabin alongside Curtis Patrick. We're two of the owners here at RotoViz. I have done some of the speaking parts tonight a little bit differently than I normally do, but you know what? I think it's all right, Curtis. It's a Thursday night. We have Baltimore and Miami currently playing in the background. How are you doing?
Yeah, it did throw me off, but that's all right, man. It's been a long week, and I think the fact that you spit the intro out at all was actually a great way to begin the show. So, it's okay, man. It's okay to slice it up a little differently from time to time.
Absolutely. All right, let's just get right into two headlines from today. We already touched upon one of these a fair amount earlier in the week, but we now know that Odell Beckham Jr. has decided to join the Rams in what was already a potent offense. Some quick thoughts from you here, and then I will share mine.
I'm pretty sure we talked about the Rams, the other day when we were talking about potential landing spots for OBJ. And I mean, listen, his personal goal is to land on a team to give himself, a chance, for a ring this year. And if that was his sole criteria in choosing, I think he chose well. I think the Rams do have a chance to do, some pretty serious damage in the playoffs. It makes a lot more sense to join this squad than a Seattle squad where he was rumored in the same division. I just don't see how he gets past, name brand OBJ into difference making fantasy OBJ in this landing spot. I mean, the team has already turned Robert Woods into, an inconsistent asset. So much is being funneled to Cooper Kupp. And I don't think at this point in his career that Odell Beckham Jr. is better than Robert Woods. I think at best, he's a similar player at best. So it's hard for me to imagine the team diverting target share from Cooper Kupp, who's having an historic season, to Odell Beckham Jr. So I think we could see them do some things differently with their formations. They could go to more four wide looks. Van Jefferson has been okay and getting a lot of run. I mean, he relegated DeSean Jackson to the free agent trash heap this year based off of his play. So I guess I'm just not really sure. I'm not really sure why the Rams made this move, to be honest. They seem like a team that's performing well, and now they add, a locker room problem. I think it's fair to say that Odell Beckham Jr. has been a locker room problem in two different cities now. I think it was fair to question maybe that New York painted him a certain way. New York media painted him a certain way. He basically ran himself out of favor in Cleveland as well, which is traditionally a city that wants to rally around its stars. Like Cleveland doesn't have much else but football. So if you're likable at all, they will latch on. So yeah, I'm just not sure, man. Like really, I think the fantasy takeaway here is you know, it's been since 2019 that he was really, any type of fantasy asset. He hasn't been a fantasy wide receiver one in 6 years. So, I mean, on a per game basis, he was a fantasy wide receiver one in 2018, but even that's ancient history at this point. It's 4 years ago, multiple quarterbacks ago. I don't know, man. I mean, he wasn't going to do anything in Cleveland. So, I guess you could say maybe there's some reason for some optimism because he clearly wasn't going to turn it around without anything changing. But I just don't really know how this situation actually will be better for him than where he was.
Yeah, I completely get that point and take it. You're right that this move for OBJ is better purely if he wants to put himself closer to getting a Super Bowl victory or a deep run into the playoffs versus trying to become a major component of a team's offense again. I will say that if I'm a Cooper Kupp owner or manager, I don't think I'm that worried about this. You already see Cooper Kupp getting such a high volume that I think anything that gets diverted from him as a result of OBJ being there is probably going to be pretty negligible. So I wouldn't worry about that too much. And, you know, there's no way to know exactly how this is going to play out. But as we said before, no matter where he landed, the probability seems to be higher that he's not going to have an outsized impact. Perhaps Van Jefferson, Tyler Higbee, they see a little bit of their work go away. But yeah, definitely not the move that this would have been had it happened 6 years ago. So let's move on to Cam Newton returning to his old stomping grounds in Carolina. He's now there with PJ Walker. Well, Sam Darnold tries to rehab. It's just so great to
even say that. He's there with PJ Walker. Oh, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you think that there's any fantasy implications of this that we need to discuss?
Yeah, I mean, probably. The team seems to be, you know, trying to salvage the season, you know, going back to a familiar face. I think there's still enough familiar, even though it's a totally different offense, there's still enough familiarity between some of the key components in the offense with Cam that perhaps they can find some chemistry. Matt Rhule, you know, certainly seems to be, you know, the type of, and Joe Brady seem to be the type of coaches that, you know, will let players do what they're best at. So yeah, I mean, I think for DJ Moore, managers, for Christian McCaffrey managers, you know, we have pretty large sample sizes of what these players did with Cam. If he does, you know, get back into the starter's role, DJ Moore, I'm trying to find, I have this. I've got our game splits app open and I have it set to Cam Newton as a receiver. Hold on a second. That's not going to pull. Yes. That's not going to pull the sample that I want here.
Probably not.
let's go here. Let's go. Come back to zero for me. This is just great radio listening to me go through our apps. Okay. Yeah. So DJ Moore has played a little more than 2/3 of his career now with quarterbacks other than Cam Newton. Life comes at you fast. He played the equivalent of a full season with Cam, 16 games, averaged 11 PPR per game in those games with Cam Newton. Yep. And 39 games without him, averaged 14.66 PPR. Literally the difference between kind of a middling wide receiver four and a high-end wide receiver two. So for DJ Moore managers, you know, that isn't a great look per se, but I also think it's fair to suggest, you know, maybe that Moore has elevated his game further as well. And the weapons surrounding Moore are slightly better than they would have been, you know, when Cam was last in town.
Yeah. I mean, I think that more or less I'm on board with what you said. Now, the piece in here that should be interesting is seeing how long they're actually needing to use one of these guys or how long they actually go with whoever they choose or if there's any flipping back and forth between these guys. So we'll be paying attention to that. I don't know if I have too much else to add. So you know what, Curtis? Okay, it looks like you have another thought.
One other, Yeah, I'll add one other thing because we've got Christian McCaffrey coming back, and you know he played a pretty big portion of his career with Cam Newton, and he wasn't scoring like he is now when he was there with Cam, but it's not necessarily because Cam wasn't throwing on the ball. You know, he was still averaging nearly 6 receptions a game with Cam under center in Carolina, 7.5 targets per game. A lot of the issue was Cam still rushing for touchdowns at that time. Cam Newton was a different player.
Yep.
In those seasons than he is now. So I'm not too worried about it. I mean, we haven't had like 29 point per game McCaffrey like all year anyway because of the injury. But in 32 career games with Cam in town, he still averaged almost 20 PPR per game. So, you know, if you were counting on McCaffrey coming back and being a high end RB1, that could still very well be the case, even if Cam ends up being, you know, under center rather than Walker.
Yeah, for sure. All right. We are now going to take a look at a couple of dynasty teams, Curtis. I know you love this exercise. We're going to take a look at them and see if we think that these teams should start looking toward the rebuild for the upcoming years or try to go for it and make a push to win this thing. So the first team comes in from a Twitter user, Android70. Appreciate you sending in the question, asking if he should go for it or not. He's in a 12-team full PPR super flex league with tight end premium scoring. He's 3-6, but is the third highest scoring team. 6 playoff teams make it. He's the 7th seed, but he's 2 wins behind. He has Wentz, CMC, Aaron Jones, Devontae Adams, Calvin Ridley, who Crowder has filled in his place, Robbie Anderson, T.Y. Hilton, Darren Waller, Chase Claypool, Javonte Williams, and then Baker Mayfield and Heinicke. So that is the information that we have. Now, if he's 3rd in points, this team's scoring pretty well. Remember that he's doing good in the points despite being 3-6. Says he's the 7th seed, but he's 2 wins behind. Your initial reaction to that, Curtis?
Yeah, I think that you can punt. I think you can punt the decision week to week here.
Yep.
You know, if you fall three games out, I mean, if you lose this week and the 6th seed and 5th seed, however many teams are just the 2 wins in front of you and they win and you get 3 games behind, I mean, you're definitely out. You'd like to see in the next 3 weeks, you close that gap and pull even. You have the points tiebreaker. There's reason for optimism here with Christian McCaffrey coming back, Darren Waller coming back. We've talked several times in the last week and a half about Darren Waller having the potential for just a mega, mega second half of the season. Raiders having, you know, one of the best opposing schedules for fantasy purposes, and Waller specifically 3rd most attractive fantasy tight end schedule rest of season, and this is tight end premium, so that's worth even more. You know, you have decent coverage for Ridley if you can stream effectively between, you know, Crowder and T.Y. And Claypool, I think are your options there really to kind of go around. But with Devontae Adams, Aaron Jones, you've got some elite assets there. Javonte Williams continues to get a little bit more of the pie. Dave and I have really waxed about, you know, his leading indicator metrics. There's every reason to believe that he's going to get a bigger share later in the season as things continue to progress there in Denver. So I would just punt the decision. You do kind of need to have everything go perfectly. But I do think if everything does go perfectly, including Ridley coming back after the minimum 3-week outage, I mean, it's not a guarantee he's going to miss the rest of the season. He just has to be, you know, on the list for a minimum of 3 weeks. If he were to come back, I mean, this team could certainly do some damage. So maybe ask us again, if you win next week, you could just write every Friday, man. We'll break down this team until it's time to make a final call.
Yeah, that's probably a hard offer to pass up there. I would say too that the one thing to keep in mind, especially in regard to your note about the idea that this decision does not have to be made this week, is that you never know too when one of these teams that's ahead of you just could have a complete collapse, right? Like sometimes that happens. So though you're two games back right now, you know, it is possible that things break your way, which is why I kind of like to wait maybe another week or two in a situation like this and then make the decision. I guess one thing we should probably add to this conversation here is, let's say that he did decide that this team is not going to make the run, has a bad week next week. Those other two teams come out strong. Mm-hmm. What are the type of moves that this manager should be starting to consider?
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yep. So if Android had already made the decision to move on, he wouldn't have written us. He would have just been saying, what do you think about these trades? Yep. And I think the trades that he's naturally thinking about, the one that really sticks out to me is actually moving Davante Adams. We've talked about Aaron Rodgers potentially moving on from Green Bay next season. He and Adams could potentially be broken up. I think peddling Adams specifically to even maybe the Rodgers manager in your league is a great way to approach that. You have some exciting young pieces. There's not really a reason to sell. I mean, selling McCaffrey right now seems like it would be selling low a little bit. Sean and I have a team kind of like this, honestly, Android, where it's really underperforming despite having some just great pieces. We've just run into bad schedule luck and bad injury luck. And McCaffrey is like one of the only players that we haven't really talked about trying to move, maybe cheaper than market price. So Adams is the specific chip there that I'm looking to move. If you do want to punt to 2022, I still think you could get a pair of future firsts for him with how he's producing this season. You also could opt to maybe, if there's a team that's in the playoffs struggling at quarterback, maybe you can move, Wentz or Heineke or Baker. You know, all three of your quarterbacks, I would say, are not building block pieces from a super flex perspective. So if there's a team that could use that quarterback production this year and you could, kind of cash that in for draft capital where, it's not necessarily a high-end elite quarterback class next year, but there's going to be a lot of potential first-round quarterback talent. If you follow Travis May's series on our site, he's always breaking down that next year's class. And, with Matt Corral and some of the other exciting quarterbacks, I mean, even into the second round, guys like Desmond Ridder with lots of college starting experience, I think it's one of those classes that could end up having some value. So ending up with two or three first round picks and all your exciting position players, you could have you right back in the mix next year.
Yeah, this is a pretty strong roster too. So I'm inclined to say that if the decision is made that it's time to move on, you could actually set yourself up pretty nicely here. So like Curtis said, if you want to check back in with us, please feel free to do so. And anybody out there listening, these are always fun questions to answer. And though they're related to specific teams, these are the type two that I think are just good for everybody to absorb and take in and think about how they might apply some of these thought processes to their own teams. So another question come in, Curtis, via email from a gentleman named Mike. He's had some rough weeks with his opponents putting up a lot of points. He's at 4-5 in eighth place. There's four teams ahead of him at 5-4. Top four make the playoffs. So, that's not very encouraging. The roster, though, actually is an interesting one. This is just your standard one quarterback league. No super flex. It is tight end premium. His quarterback, Matt Ryan, running backs. Not a lot of running backs on this team. Nyheim Hines, Jonathan Taylor, Khalil Herbert, and Mark Ingram. But the wide receivers, A.J. Brown, Tyreek Hill, Chase Claypool, Keenan Allen, Rondale Moore, Diami Brown, Laviska Shenault, KJ Osborne, Russell Gage, Khalif Raymond. And then on IR, he has DJ Chark and Will Fuller. Also had Gus Edwards on IR. Tight ends, Cole Kmet. Who else is on here? Adam Troutman. And that would take us through this team. So probably not as encouraged about this team as the other one.
Yeah, this is one where if you're going to stay in it, you're probably going to have to make some moves. Like, it's actually more likely that you would get back into the playoffs maybe than Android, because you're so much closer. Like, this basically the entire middle of the league is battling for, you know, that fourth spot. I mean, there's five squads within a game of each other. Anything could happen. But I'm just worried because, you know, you're only starting eight position players in this 12 team league. So there's only 96 players starting every week and 12 of them are quarterbacks. So then you really get down into 84 position players. And you have some really great elite at the top, like with Jonathan Taylor, AJ Brown, and Tyreek Hill. But then in terms of that, the production maybe versus the name value, we just have a precipitous drop off. I mean, first off, we're having to start Nyheim Hines along with Taylor on this squad every week. That's already like you're getting all the points from the backfield, but that's not a great situation. It's a pretty low ceiling situation. And then, you know, without Tyreek Hill doing the truly elite stuff, like he's been solid and a little more consistent actually, because the team hasn't been able to complete anything downfield. He's been getting dinked and dunked, but he hasn't been doing like crazy Tyreek 40 point stuff as often this year. So it puts more pressure on Keenan Allen and Chase Claypool. And you're getting nothing from the tight end position. So it's one of those things, man, like you would almost have to make this team even thinner to have a shot. I think if I was going to make a move on a squad like this, I would be looking to a team who, none of the teams that are 5-4 are going to trade with you. Everyone's going to think that they're in probably. Yep. So you're going to have to look at teams 9-12. And if there's a squad there that's just truly barren of talent, or maybe somebody who typically likes veterans, I think I would almost look at Keenan Allen, pairing him with your Diami Brown or your Rondale Moore or your Laviska Shenault, and then trying to get another elite piece, because you just don't have enough depth to cycle through here. So you almost got to go get something else elite and then hope that you thread the needle if you want to make a run at it. I don't mind moving on from Keenan Allen in a deal like that because, he is aging. You know, we've seen Herbert be willing to give Mike Williams an awful lot earlier in the year. You know, Eckler's there. I think that the team's going to invest in wide receiver in the upcoming draft in 2022. So moving on from Allen and, you know, Shenault, you might be able to get a Deebo Samuel or somebody like that who's maybe perceived to be outperforming, you know, his potential as thought, you know, before the season. That's like the range of player maybe that you could get into. If you wanted to just chase points, then instead you're moving probably Claypool along with one of those receivers, for somebody instead, but that might be worse for your dynasty outlook in the long run. So this one's kind of tricky. And then even if we do that, man, you're almost like crossing your fingers for an Alvin Kamara injury here, because Mark Ingram on the bench is really your only hope. Khalil Herbert is not, you know, he's not going to be relevant moving forward the rest of the season with David Montgomery coming back. I don't know. It feels like an awful lot needs to be done to actually have a shot to win it. I think we can get this team to the playoffs fairly easy, Dave, but I just don't think we can get it, you know, all the way to the top. Like, I feel like Android squad has so much of that elite talent, has a better title shot, even though it's, you know, maybe a harder road to the playoffs.
Yeah, to me, this feels like a team that you probably could have been pretty excited about heading into the season, thinking there was potential if things broke certain ways. That didn't seem to happen. And like you said, this is one of those rosters that you look down and there's a lot of names, but a lot of these names right now aren't living up to what these names could be. As a result of that, if I'm looking at this list, I mean, this team really needs to do something to bolster its running back situation, because you're also a Nyheim Hines injury away from a lot of trouble. And then, of course, if Jonathan Taylor were to get injured, you're completely out of it. So I'm not sure that you can get the depth that you would need at running back in conjunction trying to make enough of an upgrade at wide receiver to really get this team to compete. So, I mean, I think that though there's all those teams in that middle concentration here, you might be better served to try to look ahead to the future, maybe be one of the first teams to start approaching other managers trying to make a move versus waiting till some of the other teams decide that they're out. You know, there's also only so many draft picks too to go around. So it doesn't hurt to try to be the first team to procure some of those.
Yeah. I think in a non-super flex league, you know, I still think you might be able to the right squad, you might be able to get a first and a third for your Keenan Allen and a second or something like that. You might be able to get a future first here and also increase your chances of tanking a little bit to not improve your position in the standing. So if you want to sell off with the idea of not competing, I mean, I think I can sign off, because you're still going to have that nasty core of Jonathan Taylor, AJ Brown, and Tyreek Hill heading into next year. And that's a heck of a way to start, but you just need too much other stuff from this roster. I feel like you're two really solid players away from feeling like, you know, going into next year that you've got a legitimate shot. So I think there's some merit to that, Dave, but he could also, I think this is a squad where you could maybe just wait 1 or 2 weeks and see what happens. If you win the next two games and Tyreek Hill and the Chiefs really figure it out all of a sudden, you know, maybe you would want to get more aggressive, even using your own draft picks to take this team a different direction. So, you know, it never hurts to wait a week and get more information if you're not sure yet.
Yeah, perfectly fair. So always fun to look at teams like that. Like we said, definitely continue to send in things like this. We'd love to be able to incorporate more questions in on some of these shows on Friday, or if there's any topics out there that you feel like make a good thing for us to pay a little bit of attention to, please shoot those our way. Curtis, it's a Friday. What do you have for these people? How do we send them off into the weekend?
Oh man. You know, I think I don't really have anything. I really don't. I've been so beaten down during the day this week. I'm like running on fumes. So I'll just go back, you know, to the well. You know, whenever I'm feeling like that, I look down at my wrist, at the wristband that everyone in my family wears. I had these made up for my son, and we all wear them, and it just says stay positive on one side, and you flip it to the other side and it says work hard. And I've been working hard. I've been doing plenty of that. It's stay positive time. And so, you know, we preach a little bit of stay positive on these squads here, trying to look at the bright side, mixing that in with a little bit of reality. But the stay positive for me would be, you know, there's a lot of time left in this season. So as an NFL fan, your team could climb back into it. As a dynasty manager, players like Rondale Moore, LaVisca Chenault there, Mike, there's still time for them to get it right. And, you know, if there's something else going on in your life, you know, I think when we look for positive things, we tend to notice them. And when we look for problems, we tend to notice those things. So just in general, if it's not football, you know, that you're thinking about as you're listening to this, maybe you're driving into your job, or maybe you're driving home and thinking about a tough situation you've got to deal with this weekend, just stay positive. It's like more than half the battle.
Wow. What a way to tie it all together and bring it back. I love it. And after we sign off on this, Curtis, I will be doing a ton of work. So I'm going to try to stay positive as that goes on. I got to send
you some bracelets, man.
Yeah. Yes. All right. Thanks for checking in with us this week, everybody. And we will see you again come Tuesday. Thank you for listening to the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. Send us questions at rvffshow@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at DaveCabinFF and at CPatrickNFL. Leave us a voicemail at 978-615-9214. And make sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.